Okay, so we're officially starting now. Good morning, everybody. Wow, we have a lot of people that just called in the last 60 seconds. I want to welcome everybody to the call. I know we have people from all parts of the world. Some people are like up at ridiculous hours, and so thank you for doing that. That means a lot to me. Some of you, this is your first call for the Power Program, and so I want to I'm going to go back and do something, share something that I was just sharing a moment ago with people who called in early. You know, one of the benefits that you have in being a power agent is, number one, is these monthly calls. And to me, these are the real great opportunity for you to get personal coaching from me. But, you know, you have to participate. You have to request the coaching. So a tendency we have sometimes with conference calls is that we just want to sit and listen and be an observer. You know, one of the analogies I like to use is that whenever you go to a live game, whether it's football or basketball or baseball, whatever, there's what's happening on the field, and then there's what's happening in the bleachers. And some people that are really into sports, you know, they feel like they're involved in the game because they're sitting in the bleachers, and they get very excited, but they're really not on the playing field. You know, it's where the action occurs is on the field, not in the bleachers. And sometimes, too, people are very opinionated in the bleachers. You know, they know what the coach should be doing and what the player should be doing, and they have a lot of opinions about how to play the game. But they're still just sitting in the bleachers. They're not participating in the actual game. So I don't want you to sit on the bleachers on this call. I want you to be on the field with me. Now, what will put you on the field with me is by you know, using and abusing me by asking me whatever it is you need to ask for you to have a breakthrough in your career. So I'm going to open the call up in just a minute to do that. So before I open up the call, I'm going to go over a couple of things, but I also want you to start to think about what's an issue that you have in your business that you want to ask me to get some help on. Whether it's a technique, whether it's how to get listings, whether it's how to prospect, how to manage your time, you know, how to deal with a negotiation that you're having trouble with. So, all right. Now, a couple of things is that I'll tell you how to. Some of you called in late, so you don't know the procedure here, and I'll tell you how to do that in a minute. Right now, you're muted, so no one can hear you. Everybody can just hear me. Now, I want to go over a couple of things about the Power Program website. I started to do that just a moment ago. There is, after, and you don't have to do this now, but do it maybe after the call. When you log in to the powerprogram.com site, you all should have a username and password. And when you log in, there's words up at the top. And one of the words says classroom. It's really big. And if you click on that, you're going to see a plethora of stuff there that you can use in your business. We have the expired dialogue, the FSBO dialogue. We have some forms and checklists. One of the things we have there, which is pretty cool, is letters. In none of my audio programs do we have letters for expireds. And so we put a bunch of letters up there, 7 letters, that you can send out to expireds, especially when you can't find their telephone number. You know, another way to do it is to knock on an expired's door, which would be my preference. But I had a lot of people ask me for letters. And so that's there. There's some visuals for buyers. There's visuals for sellers. Those of you that have attended my seminars before, you've seen me put up on the overhead the USA Today article, or Kobe Sobrato, the CEO of ForSaleByOwner.com. Those visuals are also on under Classroom, under the thing that says Visuals for Sellers. There's 100 reasons to work with an agent, which is pretty cool. And the other thing that I was talking about earlier was there's this graph about U.S. housing prices. If you click on that, check out that website. It'll bring you to a website that has a bunch of graphs of what's happening with prices throughout the United States, in some major cities in the United States, underneath that, it says get this widget. You can actually download that widget that I have there on your website. So if you want people to get a sense of what's happening in prices in real estate, that could be on there. One of the announcements I want to make to you all is if you look at the website, you also see over to the right, it says America's Hope for America's Children. This is a charity that I've been wanting to create for years. And this charity is just getting launched this month. This charity is, there's a lot of great charities out there that collects money for children, but it seems like most of these charities are sending monies overseas. And so I had this vision to have a charity that was just for children here in the U.S. because there's so many kids in the United States that need help. And I like to think, you know, let's take care of our own, so to speak. And so that's what this charity is, and I'm very excited about it. And 10% of your membership fees that you pay to become a power agent is going towards that charity. So you're all a part of that, and I want to thank you for, I know you're doing this, being a power agent for yourself and to improve your business, but I want you to know your membership, part of that is going to help touch children's lives. The other thing I want to talk about, too, real quick, and then I'm going to open up the call to you to see who needs coaching on something. And I did get a couple of emails that I'm going to address first. But the other thing I want to talk about is, you know, every month we interview a top agent, somebody that's been very successful. And last month, and we put that recording, by the way, on the website for you. It's on the homepage. And it's also, we transcribe that interview in a magazine, which is also in the Power Program website. This month and last month, we had Larry Gardner. Larry's on the call with us right now, and he's also muted. But Larry was very generous this month. And I say that because he shared some real personal stuff, and I want to acknowledge him publicly for the courage of being so forthcoming and sharing about his personal story of dealing with alcoholism and homelessness. And, it's a great interview. I encourage you guys to listen to it. If there's any interview that you should listen to, it's this one. Because this is a guy that went from literally being homeless and turning his life around and now being an extremely successful agent, married with 7 children, which blows my mind, and because that's just a lot of kids. And he talks about his John Belushi moment and how that inspired him to be a bad guy, and there's some great nuggets in there. So Larry, thank you very much. And for those of you that don't haven't had the challenge like Larry has, the reason why it's awesome for you to listen to is it's my hope, two things, is that in listening to him go through what he went through to get to where he is now, that perhaps it'll inspire you that if you look at the challenges that you go through your life, that hopefully you can remember Larry's story and think to yourself, well, geez, if my situation isn't as bad as Larry's, if he can do it, I can do it. And plus, you may know somebody that it would inspire. So if you know somebody not even in real estate that's going through some struggles, share his story because it might inspire them to get out of their dumps that they might be in right now. Okay, so with that said, let's rock and roll here. I want to start with Mary Lundy. Mary, if you're on the call, here's what I need you to do so I can hear you, is you need to hit *6 on your keypad. Do it one time, and then it will unmute you, and I'll be able to hear you. And it'll take a minute for it to happen, so just do it one. Just hit *6 once, and give it a second for it to kick in. Yeah, and if she's not on the call, we'll still answer it. Are you there, Mary? I'm saying Mary. Yeah, I'm sorry. I said Mary. It's Marie. Hi, Marie. How are you?
How are you? I'm doing great.
I'm doing very great, hon. Thank you. So for everybody that this is your first call, what Mary did is she emailed me a question ahead of time. And so she's in the front of the queue, so to speak. So Marie, why don't you go through your question really quick, and then let me jump to my answer for you.
Yeah, basically what I said in the email is, you know, I've been using your listing presentation dialogue, and, you know, it's been great in terms of securing listings. Most recently, I've met with an experienced seller. You know, he was older, sold many homes in his life, and his current property, in my opinion, is worth, like, perhaps over $1 million. And when I used the same script, you know, I just felt that he had some reservations regarding, you know, when we talk about exposure, giving your home exposure, he really didn't take that because he feels that, you know, only a selective few should come through his home prepared to buy it. And also because he's had the experience selling property in the past, I don't think that he was connecting to my script. So the question is, you know, should we modify the dialogue, you know, if we're dealing with someone who has a high-end property and also if we're dealing with someone who sold many houses in their life?
Well, it's a great question, Marie. Now, gang, what I'm going to do is I always try and answer a question that will appeal to everybody. So when you hear a question, don't say, well, that doesn't apply to me. I don't have high-end properties or I haven't dealt with that, so I'm going to wait for the next question. So I'm going to just wash some dishes now. So everybody on the call, pay attention because, again, I will tie it into everybody. Now, because something Marie did say, which I think would definitely apply to all of us, is if a homeowner comes from an attitude, well, I've done this before, I'm experienced, I'm knowledgeable, I know how to sell my house better because I lived here and I've sold, you know, I used to sell jewelry and so I know how to sell, I'm a salesman. So that's a common occurrence that we'll get from sellers from time to time. So Marie, here's what I would... here's how I would address that with those two things. So there's two things that you said that the number one is he doesn't, he thinks he sold stuff before, so he knows how to do that. And number two is that his property is special and he doesn't want a whole bunch of different people and he wants more selective people come in. The first part, as far as their experience is concerned, let me ask you this, Marie. Do you know what this guy does for a living?
Well, he's retired right now. I think he used to work on Wall Street.
He used to work on Wall Street.
Yes.
Do you know what he did on Wall Street?
Not specifically.
All right. Now, Marie, this is a learning experience. So this is not just for you but for everybody, okay? Gang, when you are on a listing appointment, it's really, really, really important that you know who you're talking to. If you want to be really effective, you need to know that person's background, what they did for a living, because that influences the listening that they have for you. No, everybody listens through a filter. And the clearer you get about the filter they are, the more effective you can be in your communication with them. So that's the first part. The other part to that, too, is finding out why somebody's selling. You know, it always amazes me that we're not really good at asking their situation about where they're moving to, why they're, when do they need to get there by, what would happen to them if they didn't sell by the time frame they said, etc. So, Marie, let's pretend that this guy was in Wall Street and he was a stockbroker, okay? I would do one of these things to address when he says, well, I've sold before houses and I know how to do it. I would say, you know, Mr. Seller, I'm assuming that as a stockbroker, you had some really good clients. And, of course, he probably would say, yeah, I dealt with the best of the best. I dealt with multimillionaires, blah, 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 blah. Okay. And I'm sure some of these people were really savvy about the stock market world to the point where some of them might have thought that they can buy their own stocks and do their own selection. Well, if they could do that, why would they even buy stocks through you? Now, Marie, he might say, well, because, you know, I'm doing it day in, day out. This is they have their other careers. They've got their other jobs. So they can't possibly know as much as I do because that's what I do for a living. Do you follow me, Marie?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then I would say, well, that's exactly the same case here as me. So even though you've sold some houses before, You're not doing it full time like I'm doing it. I eat, sleep, drink real estate. For me to even get licensed like you as a stockbroker, I had to go through tons of training, and I have to continuously go through training. And my job is to coach people such as yourself who are sophisticated, that you understand. But my job is to look outside of what you know and what you don't know. For example, when you're in the picture, you can't see the frame. My job, because it's your property, you're in the picture. My job is to look outside of the picture and see the things that you don't see, and together we can sell this property. So that's how I would handle the first objection. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, yes.
All right, good. Now the second part, Marie, is about that he doesn't want a whole bunch of people coming through. He wants more selection. Sometimes people that have money or think they have money, that they've got expensive properties, they don't want a whole bunch of people traipsing through their home that can't afford the house. So they only want the best of the best. Okay. So what I would say to him is what creates first of all, you can't really tell who is a buyer and who isn't. You know, sometimes there's really wealthy people that you can't judge them on the surface. So it's hard to be selective up front, because you may discount people. If you come from a place of, I want to be selective, you may discount people that you shouldn't be discounting. I'll give you, for instance, I just happened to Google this, Marie, before our call last night. I went online and I just was looking for an analogy. And the Dodge Viper is a pretty expensive car, and it's a selective car. Now, this year, they went from selling that car from $110,000, they raised the price to $140,000. The sales have gone down tremendously on the Dodge Viper. The CEO believes part of the problem is, now, first of all, they raised the price, so that's the first thing. But the second thing is, he's actually forcing the dealers to offer test drives. See, throughout the country, any of the Dodge dealerships that have the Viper, they don't let people take a test drive. And the reason why is because they don't want people coming that may not be able to afford the car to just get a free ride. And so the CEO is saying, and he's physically going to dealerships and making an appearance and encouraging people to meet him at the dealership so they can do a test drive. When you try and be too selective, it hurts your chances of making a sale. So what we want to do, just like the CEO of Dodge, we want to encourage people to take a test drive of our house. The more people we can get through coming through to see this property, we don't know who that buyer is until they walk in the front door. Does that make sense, Marie?
It does make sense. It does.
All right. Yeah. So, whenever you're selling anything, and here's one more analogy for you. If a clothes designer is rolling out an expensive line of clothes, they don't discriminate. You know, they do a fashion show, they put ads out, they promote the heck out of their new line of clothes. As a matter of fact, the more expensive it is, the more important it is to get as many people seeing that product as possible. We don't want to hide your house. We need to stand from the rooftops and shout out and promote it. Why? Because we're trying to find these buyers that would be in this price range. We can't be quiet. There's fewer buyers at this price range. Therefore, we've got to do more advertising, more marketing, more promotion, not less.
I see, right.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
So that's how you present that, okay?
Perfect. And quick question, at which point do you ask what they say? Is it when you're talking to them over the phone, pre-qualifying them, like at which point?
I'm sorry, Marie, you got me on a speakerphone, I think, because you keep cutting out are calling in.
No, I was asking, at which point do you ask the seller what they do for a living? Is it while you're qualifying them on the phone where you go in, or when does
Great
that
question.
Happen?
Great question, Marie. Awesome question. The time to find out, the best time to find out about what people do for a living, their background, how many kids, all that stuff, the stuff that seems not important. Let me say this is really awesome question, Marie. The reason why, gang, we need to find out about who they are, their personality, their personal life, their how many kids, where the kids go to school, the spouse, what do they do for a living, how long they've been married, all of that stuff that seems not important. The reason why we need to find those things out is two reasons. Number one, people don't list with companies, people list with people. It's about building a rapport, a connection to people. Because see, right now they see you as a salesperson that's only interested in taking a commission from them. They need to see that who you are is a human being that's interested in building a relationship with them. So that's priority number one. Number two is, and any of you know, that's a student of mine, you know that you got to use stories, metaphors, and analogies to always communicate the point you're trying to make. And the best metaphors and analogies to use are when you go into their life, their job, their relationships, their hobbies, anything that's important to them. If they love skiing, then you take skiing and make an analogy right then on the spot on when you have an objection or something you're trying to communicate. And the more you do this, gang, the better you're going to be on the appointment and the more you're going to enjoy listing appointments. Now, Marie, your question, when do you get this information? Not on the phone, but when you go to the property and you tour the house. When you tour the house, that's the best way to find this stuff out. And you just do it, you know, as you're touring the house. You say, oh, this is a lovely room. Oh, this is great. This is where the kids stay. Oh, that's wonderful. I'm just curious, what kind of hobbies are the kids like? Are you taking them to games? Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. Oh, that's great. Oh, and this is your room. Wow, this is, who keeps up this bedroom? Is this you? Oh, is your wife? I'm curious, what does your wife do during, you know, is she stay home and take care of the house? Maybe I'm not doing the best job right now, Marie, with these questions, but that's the concept. As you're touring, yeah, you will naturally find these windows to ask these kind of things. And then and just to finish that, whatever you don't get when you're touring, when you go back to the kitchen table, you sit down with the homeowner, as you're trying to explain just like this, if I were sitting in front of this guy and I didn't know what he did for a living, and he says to me, you know, I've done this before. I've sold houses before, so, you know, I don't know if any of this is really that necessary. Then I would ask him, all right, well, I understand what you're saying. I'm just curious to help me understand your thinking. What did you do for a living before you retired? And I would just simply ask it straight out then, okay?
Makes sense. This was very, very helpful, Daryl. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome, Marie. Thank you for the question. Now, Marie, I'm going to ask you to hit *6 on your phone. That's going to put you back on mute, okay? All right, now, I'm going to ask for two people because you both had the same question. Kathy Smiley, which I just love that name. Kathy, if you're on the call, I want you to hit *6 one time and give it a second, and I'll be able to hear you. And Tony, all right, hey, Kathy. And also Tony Regalado, if I'm saying Joseph A. Tony Regalado, if you're on the call, same thing. Hit *6 one time on your phone, and I'll hear, it'll take a second. So, Tony, tell me when you're here. I'm Joseph or Tony. It's Joseph A. Tony Regalado. Are you there, Tony?
I'm here.
Nope.
Joseph A.
Okay.
For Anthony, but I go
okay.
by Tony.
Oh, you go by Tony. All right,
Regalado.
Tony. Regalado is your, obviously, your Irish name. Okay. All right. Now, you both kind of had a similar question, so I want to help you both at the same time here. Now, Kathy, you shared some stuff I don't know if I should share on the call, so I want you to share as much as you want, okay? So tell me what your question is. Tony, listen to hers and see if there's something you want to add to it, all right?
Well, I do business mostly by referral, So I tend to be very involved with people working for. And I guess sometimes I get over-involved in their problems. Like yesterday, you know, somebody said to me, oh, I am very interested in this house, and I look and I see the house is off-market. Now, it's a difficult house to sell. 8 years ago, I had the listing for this house, and I had recalled, you know, some information about the seller and her family, and she has, by the way, since died. And so I spent an hour or so on the tax records. I tracked down her son to an 11-acre farm half an hour's drive away from me. And at 5 o'clock, I got in the car, and I drove out to the farm and put my card on the door. So he called me back at 8 o'clock last night, and I have a showing for this house on Sunday. But
okay.
You know, and it may come to something, and it may come to nothing. But,
yeah.
You know, when I look back at what I actually have accomplished, what am I actually putting in my pipeline, I don't seem to be, I'm going to be broke pretty soon. It's like one of those people that's going to come home historically happy or, you know, crying and screaming because I either have a lot of money or I have no money.
All right. Well, listen, that was perfect, Kathy. And now that you said what you said, I want to crystallize your question. Tony, I'm going to jump to you in a second. The fact that you say, yeah, I'm going to be broke, and, you know, and that's stressful. And listen, a lot of people on this call right now are having financial struggles, and they feel like, and this is why I loved your question, why I texted you last night. Did you get my text last night, Kathy?
I did.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, because I was worried about you, and you are a representative of a lot of people in the call, and sometimes and people on the call that aren't in this place. Sometimes we get to that place where we're worried about money, or we're struggling financially, or we feel like we're doing a lot of busy work, and we're working our asses off, if I can use that language, gang. And you still feel like, what the hell did I accomplish? I didn't accomplish anything. And I can't keep doing this every day, because me doing a lot of work, working 10 hours and making no money, is not okay. So I'm going to help you. Tony, anything you want to add to that, buddy?
Well, my situation isn't exactly like what she just described, other than the last part of it and what you just mentioned, that I can see the water well drying up and wondering, rather than my cup flowing over, where
yep.
is my next drink of water going to be coming from?
Yeah.
And I have a open house. I was able to catch an open house this weekend because most of my business has come from open houses.
Okay.
And all last month, I wasn't able to get one open house. On the weekend, I was able to get open house during the week, which was very unfruitful. But
sure.
For an example, you know, I spoke to the listing agent during the week about her property that she has for sale this weekend, or for sale, and I'm holding open house this weekend. There's two things, one that she said and one that I got a kick out of my head. The property is listed at $800,000. I have never sold a home for $600,000. So in my own mind, I'm mm-hmm. thinking, what am I going to an $800,000 house?
Yeah.
And,
yeah, so you're... Go ahead.
The other part, like I was saying, I lost my train of thought there, but the one thing, and I've conditioned myself the last day or two to think that... An $800,000 house is no different than a $300,000 house. The only
right.
difference is the client. You know,
yeah.
I mean, the paperwork, the mechanics, everything's the same on $300,000 as it is on $800,000.
Right, right. That's good. That's good. All right. Well, now I is all right. So let me address. And I've got a list of suggestions here, and then this is for everybody that feels like, you know, the well's drying up, you're having struggles, you're feeling that it's not being productive. So there's a bunch of different pieces here. And if Tony and Kathy, if I don't answer everything you need, then you'll just tell me when I'm done here. First thing is when to help you stay focused on high priority activities. There is a principle that a lot of us have heard of, the 80-20 rule, that 20% of what you do produces 80% of your results. And what's important that we have to do is identify what's that top 20%. What's the most important activity that's going to yield you the most results? There's things that we sometimes feel are important, but they may not be urgent. So we want to focus on the things that are urgent that we must do because it's going to yield us the highest return. And one of the techniques that I personally do, because, you know, Kathy, I have always, every day I've got a million things to do, and I can't get them all done. Which, by the way, that's part of the process here, or part of the philosophy, is you have to understand you're not going to get everything done in a day. So you have to give yourself permission to not get everything done. You work hard all day trying to get everything done, and then when you don't get it all done, you get a little bummed out at the end of the night when you're laying in bed and you're thinking about everything you didn't do. So we have to create a positive momentum of accomplishment. And when you can train your brain to have an attitude of gratitude of what you did accomplish, that will help you the next day and the next day, and it'll grow and get you out of any mental funk. So to do that is make sure that you look at what are the top three things you must do today. What are the three most important things that's going to yield you the highest results? Now, there's usually our tasks can be broken up into two categories. There's the tasks that are about managing our current activities, our tasks that will manage our current business, tasks that manage our current life. And then the other tasks are those things that create new opportunities, that create revenue, that create business. So, for example, Kathy, you said in your email to me you have 4 active listings. And you told me about helping this woman and researching and going driving to the house. So let's just look at the 4 listings that you have. The activities that are about your current business, you may have to run an ad. You may have to call the homeowner. You may have to allow a showing. That's your current business. What will create new business that will create a future? Those tasks, that's prospecting and getting additional listings. Okay. And most of us will gravitate to managing our current lives and not focusing on the tasks that create new opportunities. So there's new and there's existing. We need to make sure we're always doing new. Is this making sense so far, Kathy and Tony?
Yes.
All right. Good. Next thing is, if you identify those three things, you've got to put those up front for you. Meaning those should be the first things that you do the day. And it's usually the things that we don't want to do. Prospecting is perhaps the most important thing that we need to do on a regular basis. Now, there's 2 ways to do that. You prospect either, and we're talking about prospecting for listings. We're not talking about buyers. The two ways to do it is that you pick certain days of the week that you're going to prospect. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Or Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So you pick certain days of the week when you're going to prospect. That's one approach. For people that procrastinate, I find a better approach is if you prospect every day but only contact 2 people. That every morning that you make sure that you just call 2 FSBOs, 2 expireds. That's not a total of 4. That's just doing 2. Now 2 and, of course, is 6 days. If you take 1 day of rest, that's 12 calls a week. Well, those 12 calls turn into, 48 in a month. If you made 48 calls in a month, there's no way you're not going to get some appointments and get some listings. You're probably, that model, no, definitely you're going to get at least 2 listings a month. It's not a lot, but that's the minimum that you should be getting. So FSBOs, expireds, houses for rent. People that are looking to rent their houses is another place because there's a good chance that these people are, bleeding money every month. They're making a mortgage payment and the property's not rented. So those are sometimes the best ones, especially if they're an investor, because with investors, it's just about the money. It's like, listen, I need to get it rented, or if I can get a number and get this property moved, I'll be fine with that. And then the other area that some of us don't look at are old FSBOs. Old FSBOs, what's awesome about that is that there might have been people that tried selling their house last year at the end of the quarter, or they weren't successful. Maybe they were asking too much, or they weren't really committed, and the market has improved since then. We're now going into the nicer weather. There's going to be a surge of buyer activity. So some of these people that tried selling months and months ago are not currently advertising in the newspaper. They're not currently having for sale sign on their front lawn. These are really great people to go after. Now, I've told a lot of you about the Red X company. I'm a big fan of the Red X. They keep track of FSBOs for the last 6 months, that company. So you can find 6 months of leads just from those folks. The other thing, Kathy, you were, let me see. Do you want, the other thing you said to me, Kathy, well, let's put that to the side. The other thing is one-on-one accountability. If you find that you're not doing high-priority activities, you're not doing good tasks that are going to create new business for yourself, then you need to have that one-on-one accountability, somebody that you can make a promise to, somebody that you will push you when you don't want to. You know, I'm a big fan of coaching, and whether it's paying money or not, you need to have somebody that's going to keep pushing you to go beyond where you normally would stop. So those are the suggestions, the broad strokes that I have. Kathy, do you have any questions about that? And then I'll come to you, Tony.
Yeah, you're right on with, you know, I know basically what I got to do, and I fail to do it because there's other more interesting stuff. It's always more interesting to get involved with somebody else's problem than to, you know, than to think about how I'm going to creatively market my already, you know, $1 million commercial property. I can, you know, so.
Well, here's what happens,
you know,
Kathy.
I need to get a buyer for that before I need to find a house for this other woman, you know.
Exactly. Well, what starts to happen, Kathy, is that when we get into a rut financially or production, we kind of get used to that rut. We create almost like a bad habit. And so then we keep perpetuating it. We get into this spiral like, oh my gosh, money's a problem, I'm not doing business, you know. And so then we start doing activities that keep perpetuating that spiral. And the problem is, in our business, some of the activities, it looks like on the surface we're being productive. It looks like we're helping somebody. It looks like this could yield into something that maybe they're going to buy. They have a listing. So it's almost like a carrot on a stick on a horse's head. We keep thinking that carrot, we're going to get it, you know, but we're not. And it just keeps perpetuating the spiral of no production or lack of money.
Yeah.
So,
and the other thing that's holding me back, I don't know how to overcome it, is that I have a number of prospects. I have the people, I've already done their CMA, I've been there with the stager. You know, I'm ready to schedule a photographer, I'm ready to schedule the actual listing appointment, and I'm getting a million excuses. And this is not just from one person. This is, you know, this is probably four people right now I have on the table that I can't get the actual listing signed because they're, quote, not ready.
Well, so, that's the other thing I wanted to say. Tony, hang on 1 second, because this is a little bit off of what we just said, but I do want to address it. So everybody, what Kathy is saying is that she's got these people that are potential listings, and she's ready to pull the trigger, but they're not because they want to clean the house first, or maybe, you know, paint this room and get rid of clutter. And now here's what I believe, Kathy. When you keep getting the same obstacle in your life, and in this case, the obstacle is everybody keeps telling you, give us a month and we'll get back to you.
Something wrong with me.
Exactly. It's not an accident that you keep getting people putting you off because they want to clear up the clutter. And that's probably, here's what I'm going to say, is you're attracting that because they probably sense somehow that you've got clutter in your life. You are such a scatterbrain right now. People are picking up on that, and they're afraid to pull the trigger with you.
Crap. Okay.
Is that ringing true for you, what I just said?
Well, yeah, and I guess, you know, there's my moment of personal honesty. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So the only way you can do that is, number one, is have the awareness. Number two is you got to be in action. You have to cause your life. Stop being a victim of what's happening around you. Pick those days. Get on the friggin' phone. Generate the appointments. The best way to solve it is have more business than you can handle. And I'm talking productive future business. Stop managing your current business and start having those tasks be about getting new business. Those four people that are sitting on the fence, great. Let them sit on the fence, get on the phone, get more appointments, meet more people. Those four people will come back to you later when you stop being in clutter and on not focus and all that other stuff. Does that make sense?
Okay. All right.
You okay?
Okay.
All right. You'll be fine.
I feel like I just got undressed in front of the whole world here.
Yeah, well, listen, you want to know something? I appreciate, and everybody on this call appreciates your honesty and straightforwardness, because you know what? Of the hundreds of people that are on the call right now, they're feeling the same thing, some of them. Okay? So you just helped a lot of people. All right?
Okay. All right.
All right. You're fine. You're normal. This is normal. It's normal for us to not be extraordinary all the time. You know, so you are exactly where you need to be to have a breakthrough. Listen, Kathy, you can't have a breakthrough without a breakdown. It's from the breakdown that we learn more about ourselves. We learn more about what we have to do. There's where the growth occurs, is getting uncomfortable and making mistakes and hitting the bottom and whatever that is, okay?
Okay.
All right, you're going to be fine.
Okay.
And you have my cell number when I text you. So if you need something, just text me back or give me a call, okay? Don't make it a habit, but if you need to, just call me, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right, Kathy, you're going to be fine. Tony, what didn't I address for you? Did I handle this, or?
Well, I think listening to what you were saying there kind of hit some nerves and some points on me, too.
Yeah.
I was going to ask another question if I could.
Yes, you can. Go ahead.
I subscribe to a service that provides leads. I got a lead a couple of days ago for a seller. And so I tried to contact the person. They had given the wrong phone number, which is not unusual. So I looked them up in the title profile, went and drove by the house. The house is a trust of a single, it's a woman's name and in a trust. So I'm right away running my wheels. I'm thinking this is probably an older person. She's probably passed on, and now the kids are trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
So my real question is, how do I find these people? The only thing I have, and I think it's good, is an email, so I can send some emails to them. And then I've thought about going by the house and dropping off a listing presentation and a CMA or something like that. But other than that, I don't know what I could do.
Let me make sure I understand the question, Tony. So you've got this listing lead who looks like, because the person died, it's in a trust, and you're trying to figure out how to get a hold of the decision makers. Is that it?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that is tough. You know, when you're dealing with a trust or you're dealing with a vacant property, trying to find the homeowner, that's a little bit of a PI thing to do. You know. The couple of suggestions that I have, well, actually I have one, because it sounds like you're doing everything to try and access and find those people. I will tell you what I've seen done very successfully is literally hiring a private investigator to find the contact information for those owners. Now, some people may feel uncomfortable doing that, and some people will be fine doing that, so you have to decide where you stand on that. I'm not saying that I would do that or not do that. I'm just saying I know somebody who has done that. Private investigators to find a person such as that, like with a property, is not as expensive as you might think. They have these private investigators have access to certain software, certain things on the web, certain connections that it's part of their everyday practice, and it's not an expensive thing most of the time. So looking at the value of the property, the potential commission that you can generate, then you make the decision if it's worth the investment. So other than what you're doing, that's the only other suggestion I have for you, okay?
Okay.
All right, good. All right, great. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Kathy. You guys, you don't have to mute yourself. Kathleen Hennick, you just sent me a message. Are you on the call? If you are, Kathleen, you hit *6 one time. Give it a second, and then I'll hear you. Kathleen,
yes,
are you there?
Daryl, hi. Yes, I am.
Hi.
Daryl.
All right.
How are
great
you?
To have you on the call. I'm great, hon. Thank you for asking. And so go ahead. Tell me what your question is.
Okay. I've been working with longtime 30-year-old friends who are downsizing to a 55 and older community. And one Sunday while I was away, they rode by the for sale by owner, typical, went through the house, and you know, it's an older property. I've been showing new construction. Now, all of a sudden, they are gravitating towards this. We went back as an agent and a couple, and the for sale by owner has no cards, no flyers, no disclosure. So I took a disclosure along, and we found out that they are willing to work with agents on Zillow. They're posted already and say they will work with agents. So I followed up with the owners and wanted to know what the activity level was and confirmed that they, you know, would fill out a seller disclosure and that they were working with buyer agents. And the seller, by the way, is an attorney. He said, yes, we are, but we're only offering 1%. So ultimately, I said, well, you know, I'd really like to see the disclosure and association documents, et cetera, to decide if this is really what we want to go for. And he called me back about 10 minutes later and said, well, if you're not going to accept 1%, I think this is a lot of work for us, and so I don't know if we want to do business with you. And so I said, well, honestly, every sale that's been out there in your neighborhood has been impacted with a brokerage commission, and that's just the way, you know, real estate is sold. So, you know, I was somewhat taken back by the only 1%. So he said, well, to be honest, I have to talk to my wife. And so it's been a day and a half, and I have not heard back from him. So I just wanted to know how to pursue this thing, the commission that seems to be getting in the way, because the buyers are flabbergasted. They want to try to move forward with this, even though it's a house sale contingency. And, you know, they're driving me crazy because I don't.
All right, so hang on a second. I want to make sure I got this correctly, Kathleen. So you do have a buyer for this property and they want to buy it, is that right?
Yes, right.
Okay. And so so they want to buy it, and he's willing to work with you, but only at 1%.
That's
and then
correct.
All of a sudden you're asking for the disclosures and stuff like that. And did
mm-hmm.
you say you would agree to the 1%?
No, I did not. I said, well, that won't work. And, you know, I have seen other arrangements where you do like 2.5. But at this point, I'm sure since he's an attorney, he feels like he doesn't need anyone else. You know, he knows it all. So I'll respect that. But I still, you know, would like the opportunity to maybe move forward with this at a different commission level or, you know, encourage the buyer to pay full price and structure it in there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So has the buyers made an offer yet?
No, they haven't. No, we're
okay.
waiting for the disclosure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hang on a second. All right. Here's what I would do, Kathleen, is I would have at this point, it's a little bit of a mess because mm-hmm. you've made this transaction about the commission, not about the sale.
Right. Uh-huh.
Okay. And so now excuse me for using this language, but you guys get the real Daryl Davis on these calls. These
okay.
is closed door conversations, all right? But, you know, it's becoming a pissing contest between his expertise as an attorney and you as a realtor and what he thinks you're worth. Do you follow me?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so you created that here, so that's okay. I mean, that's what has happened now. So we have to undo that. So here's what I would do, is I would have the buyer, you do not need to have that disclosure before an offer is made. You can have, and correct me if I'm wrong because I don't know about your state, but I'm going to suggest that you can have an offer contingent on the disclosure that it be provided. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense, but typically in Pennsylvania, that's sort of highly recommended to have the disclosure up front, and it's in our MLS all the time.
All right. Well, we're not dealing with MLS. This is I do want to tell you, as an aside, Kathleen, this is for everybody. Mm-hmm. I have seen it time and time again where agents mess up deals because they think the MLS rules is the license law, and it's not. There are almost every MLS that I've ever seen in the United States, they have these rules, and the agents think that those rules are license law, and it's not. That's the MLS rules. There's license law, and I would, you know, if you want to double check, you can call the Department of State and ask them. But I will bet you $100 that you can have the buyers write an offer now and write in there, this is contingent on the homeowner providing this, this, and this, whatever you want to put in there. So you can add any contingencies you want. But I would get the buyers to write a offer now. And then call this guy up and say, all right, I heard what you said, and I respected what you said. I have these buyers that want to buy your house, and you want to sell it. So what I did was I had these folks write an offer now without the contingencies. We'll still need that, but I wanted you to see that these are serious people, and I'm serious. So I'd like to come over and discuss it with you. Do not do it over the phone.
Okay.
All right. Now, he may say, well, what's the number? Well, there's a few pieces going here. I want to sit down with you face-to-face, man to realtor. And you know, counselor, when something is really important, it's better to have face-to-face meetings than doing it over the phone or faxing, or because that creates problems and drags things out. And sometimes that's good for attorneys when they bill by the hour. I don't want to bill you by the hour. All right.
Okay.
So if you want me to bill you by the hour, it'll get more expensive if we go back and forth. So let me come over and show you what this number is. Let's get to meet each other, because I think a little tension too has occurred over the phone, and I apologize for that. But I've got these buyers; they definitely want it, and I want to help sell your house. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, does that sound good so far?
It does. Now, how are we getting the commission paid?
Okay, well, first of all, stop worrying about the commission, but I know that's your question, but try and put that on the backside a little bit in your brain. You still got to handle it, but have it be more about helping him move and less about your commission. All right.
Okay.
Now, when you write the offer and you make that call, first of all, you want to get the best offer from these buyers. And I would tell them when you're writing the offer, I would say, listen, there's two ways to go when you're making an offer. You can either go low and try and haggle. My impression has, my experience has always taught me, when you try and save a nickel, you lose a dime. So by us trying to save like $50 or $100 a month, you may lose the whole house. So you got to ask yourself how committed you are. Do you really want it? If you do, my advice is that we go in with our best offer. And that way I can tell the seller to take it or leave it. Mm-hmm. Those are usually the better approaches. So now I got my buyers. When you say that to your buyers, you get your buyers at the highest price they're willing to come in at.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that you can't still ask them to come up if you need to counter. But you want to get that highest, you want to get that highest number now, okay?
Okay.
So then I would go to the seller. I would sit down with him. Do you know where he's moving, why he's selling, what his time frame is? Do you know any of that stuff?
Oh, yeah. They have a condo in the south somewhere, and the grandchildren are down there. A new baby's born, and they just want to be closer. And they will hold out for these buyers to sell their house, which is not quite ready to go on the market yet. They want to do it like the beginning of April.
Oh, so in other words, this seller isn't really full-fledged selling yet, but because of these buyers, they're considering to sell it now?
No.
Is that what you just said?
No, they would pick a buyer right now. The sellers would, because they have a condo they can go and live in immediately. Or they would go in the middle of the summer looking at new construction in their destination.
Plus, okay. So part of the problem. I gotcha. All right. So part of the challenge you're going to have with the seller, too, is that it doesn't sound like he's 100% committed right this second.
Right.
All right. So that's a challenge that you have, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because the commitment level, here's what I've learned, Kathy, everybody on the call. When you have two people, when you have a buyer and seller, if you've got two people, both buyer and seller, that are really committed, really, like the seller has to move in the next 60 days and the buyer has seen a whole bunch and this is their dream home, you'd have to screw that deal up because you've got two really committed, motivated people. Now, if you have either one of them are like, yeah, I like the house, but whatever, I want to get it at a good price, and the seller's like, well, we're in no hurry to sell. So you have now two people not committed where the realtor is more committed than the two. Those deals you can't put together. All right. Now, with this situation, are the buyers really committed? This is the one that they want?
Well, they were looking at something similar that would have to be built towards the end of the year. So it's going to meet their time frame. And honestly,
okay.
I think it's too old. I mean, it's functional.
All right, forget what you think. Yeah, I understand.
Okay.
All right, but forget that, Kathleen, because you're not buying it. If for these buyers, if it works for them now instead of waiting to the end of the year, that's what they prefer. So it sounds like the buyers are more committed than the sellers are. Are you here?
Right.
You following me here?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep.
So that means you may wind up having to push the buyers up more during the negotiation. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to get your commission, you're going to have to get that fee. You're going to have to get that price raised. Okay.
Okay.
So, so get ready for that. Now, I'm not saying but just get ready. So you get the buyers coming in with their best offer. You go to the sellers, you sit down with them face to face. You present the number, and because you brought commission up as an issue, I would just present the number and 2.5%. And he says, well, I'm not paying 2.5%. I told you I'm going to pay 1%. I said, I understand that, counselor. You have to, and I would do that. I would talk to him like he's an attorney. I would say, I understand that, counselor. But just like, listen, there's the value. You understand this. You're a smart person. You know the value of time and money. You know, if you hold out trying to get a better deal, it's going to it may cost you more money in the long run in time and energy and everything else. You know, counselor, a bird in the hand is worth two in a bush. So you have to decide what's important to you. Do you want to risk the house not selling for this number 6 months from now? Right now, your house is sold for $500, whatever the number is. You got. Right now, your house is sold for $500. If you don't accept this deal, then you just bought your own house back for $500,000. Right now, it's sold.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to decide what's important to you. Do you want to buy your house now, or do you want to move? And then when he pushes back again, you say, well, counselor, I'm sure when you had your fee, what you charge your clients, if somebody came to you and says, I want you to take a 75% cut in what you charge, because that's, I don't know what the math is, but 1% and 2.5%, if you actually do the math, I'm going to guess it's somewhere around that. So if somebody came to you and said, I want you to do all the same work and take 75 less in your fee, I'm sure that wouldn't work for you. And I'm sure that there's attorneys out there that charge less money, but the better ones charge what they charge, and there's a reason for it. So you get what you pay for, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I would do as much as I can in face-to-face. Is this helping you, Kathleen?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, now, I didn't need you to say that, but thank you. That made me feel good. I really want to make sure I'm helping you. Now, once you do that back and forth with him, you're going to do the best that you can. You might wind up splitting it with him. So be open to that possibility. It's going to be 2%. Then here's what you do. If he goes from 1 to, let's say, 2, and you want 2.5, you have to now counter 0.5% higher to your buyers to work it into the price.
Okay.
And be prepared. I think the final final accepted number is going to have to be that buyer coming up the difference. Okay?
Okay. Mhm.
All right. And I would do that on the I would be open to doing it on the phone too, in the attorney's house. So you write the offer, you bring it to the attorney, you negotiate with the attorney, you respect him, counselor, and then he's going to give you the final number, and then you're going to say, let me make a call to the buyers now. Let me see if we can wrap this up. I would call from my cell in the other room or outside, get them to verbally give you a higher number, change it on the document, get the attorney to initial it, bring it back to the buyers to sign the change. Okay.
Okay. Sounds wonderful.
All right, Kathleen. Thank you for your question. All right, gang. So we've just now come to the end of our call here. So I want to thank you very much. I hope this call was helpful for everybody. And listen, just stay focused, gang. Last thing I want to say to you, you've got to look through the magazine. There's some awesome stuff in the magazine. I didn't go through it because it's all self-explanatory. There's some objection handling techniques. There's some letters. There's some flyers. There is a flyer in there. I do want to say this real quick, actually, before we end the call. On page 39, there's a sample on how to do a home seller's seminar. And I highly recommend you consider doing a how to sell your house in today's market in the next 30, 60 days. You probably need 45 days to promote it, because the nice weather is coming around, especially on the East Coast, and there's people that are going to be coming to the market to sell their house. And so this will be a very timely thing for you to do a how to sell your seminar in today's market. And you have them fill out a registration card. I put it in the magazine for you. They fill out that card. It's called the evaluation card. You can use that as a raffle. That card will be your lead card, so you can follow up with these people. So if you do a big seminar where you have guest speakers talking for a little bit, or you have an attorney, a termite company, a title company, everybody talks for 15 minutes, four of those people, that's an hour. And then you open it up. That's another 15 minutes. You close it with questions and answers. That's an hour and a half seminar on how to sell your house in today's market with five experts, which includes you. And then you follow up with those people. And the guest speakers, you should have them also promote it to their database of customers and clients. So you get a nice big turnout, and it's like doing a listing presentation for a whole room of people, okay? So let me unmute everybody real quick. And all right, so you're all off the mute. I can hear everybody, and you can all hear each other. Was that a good call? Yes?
Excellent.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, gang, listen. Go out there and knock them alive. Go out there, knock them alive. Go help a lot of people. God bless you. And thanks for helping America's Hope for America's Children by being a power agent. I'll talk to you all soon. All right, bye-bye.